All right, it's 9 o'clock, and that means it's time for Live from the Piano Kitchen. Featuring our resident musical genius, Mr. Jim Conley. Your hostess with Moses, Paige Outs.
And your very own Michael Bernard.
Tonight's guests, Chio Tepper.
Chio.
Chio.
Say it together.
Chio Tepper. Yeah. Our pen pal, Tyler Gobble.
Woo!
And the Piano Kitchen Radio Players.
For the radio, you have a little bit of stuff on your face.
Right. Well, that's from the free popcorn. And does everybody know that in addition to the free popcorn, tonight we have a very special treat. We have free baklava.
Or baklava.
From Zaytunes.
Las Vegas.
Or yeah, Zaytunes.
I said Zaytunes. So.
Same. Also, we're very old-fashioned, and last time we had this out, and absolutely no person wrote their name in it. I put my roommate's name in it. This was not actually them doing it. We were passing this around.
And
so
he's
not even here.
Yeah, he wouldn't come this way.
So that obviously didn't even work. So we're passing this around. Please, if you would, so
somebody just entered here. And left.
That's great. Fake? Was that Chris Wagstaff?
Yes. Junk mail.
All right.
Often.
How are you guys doing?
Good. I just came back from Austin.
Austin, Texas. Paige was in Austin, Texas, performing. No, this show started, so you guys have to stop talking. Paige was in Austin, Texas, performing a show, Mad and a Goat.
Yeah.
And how did that go?
It was good. This show, we did three performances of the show, so I spent a lot of time eating at food trucks and doing some Texas yoga.
What's that mean?
Like a staycation.
What's that mean?
Yeah, what's Texas yoga?
Well, I found this really cool yoga place that was called East Austin Yoga, I think. And there was this really cool yogi there. His name was Steven, and he was a Scottish yogi, which I have never met a Scottish yogi before, but he was really good. He made us do this thing that I've also never done before, which was called sealing your senses. Has anyone ever done that?
Stealing your senses?
Sealing.
Matt has already sealed one of his senses.
Yes, right. You put your first finger on your eyebrows, your third finger on your nose. Don't close your nose, though. Keep breathing. Your fourth finger by your lips and your pinky finger, and then you close your ear flaps. And then Steven said, okay, now close your eyes.
But he's got it, so he's like, ugh. Close your eyes.
Close your eye.
Yeah, something like that. Close your eyes and go inside your self shell and listen to the ocean. Okay.
Come back, Matt. Come back from the ocean.
I don't know. It was so cool.
How do you bring somebody? Really cool. How do you bring somebody back from that?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
And that's Texas yoga.
I guess that's Texas yoga.
You know, it reminds me of, I think there's a thing in Portland, which is, it's yoga with baby goats.
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
Just look for the pictures, and they climb on top of you with their dirty,
really?
You know, fecal hoofs, and while you're doing yoga. Yeah, it's not for you.
No, I don't want any goats on me.
They're babies. They're so cute.
What about you, Michael?
Well, this is a scary thing actually happened to me. This is true. I was at the gym. I work out. Yeah, come on in. Show's just started. I'm just talking about myself. And
it's fascinating.
There's popcorn and baklava. And there was I work out with this trainer twice a week. I know you're saying, oh my God, only twice a week? You have this body, only twice a week? I was doing this thing with him and I started to feel kind of dizzy. I said, I have to sit down. And then I said, I think I have to go home. And he was like, all right. And I got in the car and I started to drive home. And then I was like, I got to pull over. And I pulled over and I reached over to the passenger door because there was an unopened can of seltzer. And I went to drink it and I passed out.
Oh my God.
And then I woke up and like the can of seltzer was all over the floor and then I drove home and I felt great. So I just really needed a nap, I think, more than anything. But yeah, no, I was a little,
I feel like
I had to go, I went to the doctor, I had blood work done, I'm going to get a stress test. Okay. This could be it. I mean, this could be the last time.
That might happen during the show.
Yeah.
Matt, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
Yes, step in.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because I was reading an article in like the Times on Facebook that, you know, said that interval training is really good for that. Have you tried
that's
that?
What I was doing.
Oh, really? Oh, right.
Oh, I was like, you had to bike as hard as you could, and then you had to wait 30 seconds, and then
hey,
bike
wait.
As hard as you could.
I know something that's just as effective as interval training.
What?
What's that?
That's a lead. It's called a lead-in.
Are you going to tell us what it is?
Oh, yeah. I was going
to. Usually you lead people in order to tell them something. You don't lead them in and then abandon them.
It's just so exciting. So exciting. That we have all these new parts to the show now, and one of the new parts is called Techno 10, which at some point, this is a warning, at some point during the show, you'll hear a countdown, and then we're going to dance for like 30 seconds. And then something else really cool will happen, but it'll be loud, so are there babies here? Are there any babies?
Daddy, bring a baby.
Okay, well, somebody usually does, so... Luckily,
so no babies. So right. Get up and dance.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Hey.
All right. Moving on to our first musical guest of the evening is our very own Mr. Jim Conley, performing as Toy Shop Ghost. Let's give it up for Toy Shop Ghost.
Hey, I'm going to do something instrumental first, just because fall always makes me think of Bach.
Away.
called Wingsuit. Wingsuit. That's what I want for my birthday's coming up, and anybody who's listening, get me one of those Rocky the Squirrel suits. But don't get the cheap one. Get the good one. It's literally a one-time use, you know. But it's gotta be good, you know.
Piano Kitchen Radio Hour. Tonight, we take you deep into the bowels of a major American university, which, to be honest, is kind of gross. Who wants to go into the bowels of anything? I mean, sure, they're not the same type of bowels as on a person, but they're still bowels, right? I mean, I guess, really, when you say bowels, maybe you just mean basement? Which doesn't seem to be nearly as foreboding, you know? You know what? I have no idea what I'm talking about, so let's just say the deep in the basement... No, you know what? It doesn't have the same ring at all, okay? So we're gonna go deep into the bowels of an esteemed temple of higher learning. And deep in there, a super secret meeting of the deans was being called to order by Chancellor McTavish.
I, Chancellor McTavish, would like to bring this meeting to the university deans to order. Order!
I'll have a ham and cheese sandwich.
Dean, Steve, must you make that joke every time?
I thought it was funny.
Well, it's not, Dean, Steve. It's not funny. No one likes that joke, and no one likes you.
Jeez.
Jeez indeed, Dean, Steve. Jeez indeed.
Excuse me.
Yes, Dean Bridget? Do you have some humorous wordplay to dazzle us with like Dean Steve over here?
No, Chancellor. What I do have are two students, guests with me, and they have a very important presentation.
You brought students here?
Yes.
You showed students the bowels of our university?
Yes.
These bowels are for deans and chancellors only.
They're only guests, Chancellor.
But how did you get them past the gatekeeper?
I blindfolded them, and then I give them the knockout gas.
Well done, Dean Bridget. We wouldn't want another repeat of the Gallagher debacle, right, Dean Steve?
I'm sorry! I thought it would be funny to have Gallagher perform at a meeting. How many times do I have to apologize for that?
He left a trail of watermelon juice that almost gave our location away to the students.
I am sorry!
So, Chancellor, this is Lucy Pulowski.
Hello.
And Maxwell Brattershelf.
Nice to meet you.
They want to talk to you about starting an anti-bullying campaign here at the university.
That sounds good.
No one wants to hear what you have to say, Dean Steve.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, you can't do that.
I'm the chancellor. I can do what I want.
What Lucy is trying to say is you shouldn't just bully Dean Steve like that.
No, it's okay. I don't mind.
You should mind it.
But he deserves it.
I do deserve it. I tell the same stupid ham sandwich joke every week. And even I don't think it's funny.
That's not the point.
If you don't think it's funny, Dean Steve, then why do you tell it?
It's the only way I know to tell you I love you.
The point is... What?
I love you, Chancellor McTavish.
Well, why not ask me out for some coffee or something? Take me to a show! How am I supposed to interpret your feelings from a bad joke?
See, this is why Max and I think we need an anti-bullying policy.
That's right.
Why not buy me some flowers?
The point is...
I'm too scared to open my heart to you.
The point is we need this university to be an environment where people feel safe enough to open up.
If you can't open your heart up, then you don't deserve me, Dean Steve, so shut up!
See, talk like that keeps people from being able to honestly express themselves.
Here it is! Here's my heart! I love you! I always have!
Except maybe in this case. But still, it's important to have an anti-bullying policy.
Take me, Dean Steve. Right here. Right now.
About this anti-bullying.
Oh, yes!
Is that a yes? We can have an anti-bullying thing? Or is that a sex yes?
Yes!
See, now you're just trying to confuse me on purpose. We need to have some water.
I'll take a ham.
Don't you dare say it!
Ham sandwich!
Are all your meetings like this?
And so, after waiting an appropriate amount of time, long enough so that they didn't seem rude, but not so long that the Chancellor and Dean Steve might think they were super pervs who liked watching other people have sex at a meeting, Lucy and Max left and got started on their anti-bullying campaign with a huge rally.
Stop inappropriate bullying now on campus. Stop inappropriate bullying now on campus. Stop inappropriate bullying now on campus.
Thank you all for coming today. No longer will we allow students to be bullied.
We've put a microphone on stage, and we encourage everyone to get up and share something with the crowd they've never told anyone for fear of being bullied. Who wants to go first?
I do. My name is Peter, and I like to wear women's clothing.
Yay! next?
I'm Harriet, and I was just pretending to like letters to a young poet. They don't really like Rilke.
Not everyone has to like the same things. Next.
Yeah, I'm Ralph, and I still listen to the Baha Men, who let the dogs out.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool. No one's judging you. Much.
Soon the university became a place where people stopped judging people for who they were. No homophobia, no racism, no sexism. It was a paradise of acceptance. Not long after that, Lucy and Max were once again blindfolded, knocked out, and brought down into the bowels of the university.
Order, order, please! Dean Steve?
Yes?
Don't you have something you want to say?
I'm good.
Okay.
What is it?
I miss you pretending to order the sandwich.
I don't need to do that stupid joke anymore now that I openly declare my love for you.
I think you were more interesting to me when you were annoying.
Oh, I can be annoying.
Has the meeting started?
Yes, let's get down to business. We need to discuss your anti-bullying campaign.
Thank you.
We feel great about it.
And what a disaster it is.
What?
Do you know what life is like now? All these students expressing themselves openly, wearing whatever they want without fear of ridicule, loving whoever they want without fear of societal rejection, expressing themselves however they want.
But that's how society should be.
Except maybe for that guy who loves the Baja Men. I mean, really, isn't it enough with the dogs already?
Dean, Steve, please.
It's an honest question.
Chancellor, how can you say the anti-bullying campaign is not a success?
Now that these students are being free and living full creative lives without fear of someone bullying them for who they are,
yes.
Well, it's only a reminder for the rest of us how boring we are.
I don't understand.
Don't you see? By allowing those who are different to be bullied, we ensured that the least interesting of us would not be left behind.
But
by being more exciting and different and creative, those students are bullying the rest of us.
I
am personally being bullied by those people who are more interesting and exciting than me. We have to stop this tyranny. From now on, everyone at the university will dress exactly the same.
No, that's not what the program is for!
Are you suggesting having school uniforms is bad?
It's not what...
If everyone wears a shirt with the school name on it, aren't they just showing pride in the university?
I guess,
is there
yes.
something wrong with being proud of the school?
No!
Then it's settled. From now on, students and faculty will wear a mandated uniform designated to increase school pride and reduce bullying.
No!
You two are bullying me by not agreeing.
We didn't mean to.
And so everyone on campus was given the same color gray pants, shirt, jacket, and hat. Soon no one had any fashion sense. And if you don't have fashion sense, you can't be bullied for the way you dress. Although there were some holdouts.
Hey, Mackenzie!
Hi, Sally.
Wow! I like the way you rolled up your uniform pant legs to make them like capri pants.
Thanks. I love the way you turned your school shirt into a belly tee.
Woo!
Attention, students! Stay where you are and do not move. You are both in violation of the anti-bullying code.
What? How?
You made alterations to your official school uniforms, and that bullies anyone who doesn't have the creativity to think of that. Or doesn't have a smoking hot bod that can rock a belly tee.
Were you hiding in the bushes waiting for someone to break the rules?
Maybe I'm just that committed. Take them away!
What? Who are these people?
This is my anti-bullying task force, and you better not cross them!
Where are they taking us?
To a place where you will learn not to bully.
Yes, the Chancellor took her duties as leader of the anti-bullying team seriously. Her influence was felt in the classroom.
Well, students, I have the results of your test. Mr. Splinter, you did very well. You get an A.
Yes!
Miss Bernstein, it seems you didn't study very hard. You got a D.
But I did study hard.
Well, evidently not hard enough.
I did, I swear.
Maybe this isn't the class for you, then.
Oh. Woo!
Hold it right there!
Chancellor, what brings you to my class?
I'll tell you what brings me to your class, Snappy. You are bullying these students.
No, I'm not. Did you just call me Snappy?
Not bullying them? You just told that girl that she shouldn't be in this class.
She doesn't understand the material. Yeah, were you hiding in the closet, watching me?
Giving one student a better grade than the other is bullying the students who aren't smart.
But this is a class, it's a college. How can I chart the progress of the students if I can't grade them?
You can grade them.
That makes no sense.
Just that everyone has to get the same grade.
That makes no sense.
Are you saying you don't have the ability to teach each student equally? Because then you would be bullying some students.
I am not saying that.
Well then, if you can teach them equally, they should all earn the same grade.
I don't agree.
Take him away!
Ah, wait! No! Does that mean I lose my parking tickets?
And in the lavatory of the freshman dorms during a getting to know you mixer.
Hi, I'm Jane.
I'm Abigail.
Abigail, I love that name. It's so interesting. Jane is just such a blah name.
Woo! Hold it right there.
What's going on?
Aren't you the chancellor?
Yes.
What? Why were you hiding in that toilet stall?
Because my quest to end bullying knows no bounds.
No one is being bullied here.
Oh, really, Abigail?
What?
You just walk around throwing your interesting name in everyone's face.
But it's my name.
And your name made Jane feel like she wasn't as good, that she was some kind of loser with a loser name for losers.
I said that.
Did you or did you not feel bad when you heard that Abigail had a more interesting name?
I did!
From now on, every person at this university will be named Carl.
Even the women?
They will be named Carl A.
What about just Carla?
You really are a troublemaker. Tell me your name again.
My name is Carl A.
Very good.
And so the university truly became a bully-free campus. A bully-free campus where everyone dressed the same, earned the same grades, and was named Carl or Carl A. Meanwhile, Max and Lucy, the two students who started the anti-bullying campaign, met in secret.
Hello, Carl.
Hello, Carl A.
I think we're safe.
This is madness.
I never meant for this to happen.
Me neither.
I wanted people to be able to express themselves.
I thought if you thought I was all sensitive about bullying, you'd make out with me.
Really?
Yeah. You're awesome.
I don't feel very awesome. I feel like this is all my fault. You know what we have to do now, don't you?
Make out?
No! We have to end this. We have to take down the Chancellor.
That's what I meant.
Will Lucy and Max be able to take down the powerful school Chancellor? Will the students ever be able to express themselves freely again? What is the deal with Dean Steve anyway? The answer to these questions and questions to these answers will be coming up later on in tonight's program.
And he recently married one of my very good friends, Diana. and he is a poet. He has one book of published poetry called More Wreck, More Wreck. He has another one coming out this year. And I was trying to figure out a way, how could we get his poems on the show? And so he said, what if I wrote y'all a letter that was a poem letter? So he wrote one to us. So it's like we have a pen pal now.
He's a man. He's a poet. He's our pen pal. Don't we know it? He's a man named Biscuits Calhoun.
Dear Paige, how is the weather there in Santa Barbara? Weather being one thing to share, back and forth like a beach ball. Even when half flat, the fun remains. Here in Texas, it is the usual hot. My armpits raising two suns, sometime in the future God, she splits the old fiery ball in two. For no reason other than time. It sure needs something to do. I have not seen the sun in a few. One cloud the size of Texas, looming large and one can assume right heavy. But leak it does not. My ex-partner shouts on Twitter towards me, slicing a three-year fog of silence. Admit who you are. Okay, I am Tyler Gobble. Okay, I am the son of a truck driver, a school teacher, grandson of a cabinet maker, a factory worker, a bank teller, a farmer slash insurance salesman. I am T. Gobb, or I am Biscuits Calhoun. I am fighting the urge to fall over. I am 5 years and change from my last fist fight, 24 hours since my last drink, 3 hours since the last time I patted a small child on the head and I said, I love you, I will see you tomorrow. I am inside my latest poem, which I call a letter, even though Dean Young, he assures me, poetry is no place for communication. Inside me, or inside this poem, a little boy hums, riding his tricycle in circles through the house, honking the purple butt of the purple hippopotamus his father has latched to the handlebars. Outside me, or outside this poem, the little boy transforms Play-Doh into simple yet precise representations of a, my, the, his, any boyhood, a snake, an airplane, what was becoming a stegosaurus. My hands never developed during the period of time you might call my boyhood. Certain symmetrical dexterities. Paige, maybe I have showed you this trick. My right hand able to smoothly morph into its various symbolic gestures, to give someone the middle finger, to a truckload of bros passing by, to ironically flip up the hook'em horns at a truckload of bros passing by, to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 with my preschool students. But the left hand staggers and takes time to unwind, the middle finger uncoiling like a crank on the antenna atop a, my, the, his, any boyhood's trailer. It took 7 turns to budge an inch, and my horns cannot often cinch past I love you. And that 4, as I counted out, stampedes through 3 to 5, just like that. An opening hand is open. How I hope to be honest about who I am. I have dissociative identity disorder, which stemmed out of what my therapist calls my 3 losses. My half-brother discovered in bed with a man at age 14. My half-brother discovered in bed with a man at age 14, and my parents panicked. My parents panicked, and he sent him back to his mother in North Carolina. My 4-year-old brain noticing the void, but unable to paint the patterns to lodge it back together. My grandmother dead on her pink toilet. 2 days after I cried on the phone to my mother, I said, Grandma is not okay on the other side of the pink door. Well, she was fine for 2 more days. Then a blood clot found the way to her brain, how years before it went after the better half of her leg. My uncle dead, chest pressed against his Jeep steering wheel. Teenage son alive but jigsawed in the passenger seat. Around the same time, I awoke in our first camper. An old green box field mice soon called home for a winter long. Till dad discovered their nesting in every cupboard, sink, drain, cushion, and traded it to
an antiques dealer for a fishing rod and old Coca-Cola cooler. Before the age of 10, these three losses, my therapist says, stitched a new badge to my DNA. Very nervous, mood swinging, and possibly paranoid. One therapist, she told me, the devil is inside you, making you do those bad things. These outbursts, these swinging fists, this frequent flood of flying tears. Another therapist, she made me pay for a toy. I broke in frustration. Different tactics, but both pawns in the game that sustained this strange anxiety inside a, my, the, his, any boyhood. The fear of having these outbursts, spells, fits, breakdowns, whatever you call them. So I sat on those feelings, hoping control to be released back to me, but instead nurtured inside was two sides. Those in the know call them alters. A boy who wants to be left alone with his grief and his Play-Doh, and a rowdy young man who wants total control at whatever cost. Suppressed reflexes to suppressed anxieties, relieved only by the cornfield of a, my, the, his, any boyhood. I hid in, buried in it, got lost in, therapied only by the green patches between pavement left here in Texas. I let him and other bits hide and haunt. My friend, who has been shunned for his violent, alcoholic, angry, what order to put these words, outburst, sends me an email to say, you are the one with the real problem. I let him have his moment, but to the universe, I say, duh. I say, I snapped in a parking garage over what? Over nothing. A bad memory echoes in my mouth. Well, I got to get that in my next letter, perhaps, but time doth tick like the sound inside Jim's banjo. What can we do but travel across it and say, dear Paige, I am full of more than blood. I have a young boy inside me who would like to meet you to show you how his two hands work better than mine.
He's a man. He's a poet. He's all. He's a man named Biscuits Calhoun.
Woo! Cry the bubble! This is a new bit that we're doing, but the idea is that we will invite people to teach us all how to do something that we probably didn't know how to do, and that's something pretty stupid and pretty fun. So who better to do that than our very own Matt Tavanini.
All right. Okay.
Oh, wait, we got to sing the song.
We sing our theme song first.
This is a theme song.
Teach me, show me, look at me, growing. I want to get smarter tonight.
Okay, so I'm here to teach you something. This is a trick I learned a long time ago. Maybe some of you already know it. But what it requires is pulling out a bill of currency of some sort. So everybody, if you have a bill of currency, pull it out. And if I could borrow a dollar from somebody, great, thank you.
Should they hand those forward?
Yes. The trick is, and bring them this way.
And thank you, Matt.
All right. How not to be a sucker. Okay, so you got the bill in front of you, those of you that are participating. I see some other currency other than the United States. Way to go. Is that a Mexican peso? What is that? A euro. Wow.
Does it work with euros?
Let's give it up for Europe. What's that? Okay, so you got the bill in front of you. And what you want to do is you want to fold the top down.
Oh, wait. Should we take note of which way is up right now?
So, yeah, so you want to face it out, so the front of it's facing out. Great. You will fold the top down. And then you want to fold it in half, going from right to left. And you do that again, folding in half, again, right to left. And now, grab the two ends in the back and pull them open. And then open it up. And it's upside down.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, this is a great joke or trick to bring to Thanksgiving or Christmas this year to impress your nieces and nephews and grandkids.
Matt Sandy!
You guys, this is Shio Tepper.
Hello.
And she, do you want to explain why you weren't here on time? not about the thing that happened this morning, but
well,
you,
I'm actually
she's
gonna,
doing something gonna, exciting.
Yeah.
In
well,
the theater.
I'm going to tell you the whole story because it was kind of funny. So Jim asked me to play tonight, and well, he said, you know, come here at 8 for sound check, and the show will start at 9. And I'm thinking, like, okay, podcast, it's going to be in the morning. And so I woke up at 7 this morning and showed up here at 8 o'clock in the morning and realized, oh, it's at night. And anyway, I couldn't come here right at 9 o'clock because I'm actually playing for Santa Barbara High's musical theater performance right now. They're doing a production of Crybaby. So I just came from that. So now I'm switching gears from 50s rock and roll to... some original songs. But anyway, because I thought this was going to be a morning show, I prepared for you guys a morning song. It's called Morning Song. And I'm just going to play it anyway, because it's what I thought I was going to play. Saw Leo Kottke perform, and it felt like an entire public music lesson for me. I learned so much just from watching him perform. And one thing I really appreciated about his performance was just his kind of brutal honesty with himself. He started playing a song that he wrote when he was 17. He was like, I hate this song. But he played it anyway. And I was like, wow, that's super cool. And anyway, it kind of inspired me to kind of push myself, challenge myself a little bit to, you know, be honest as a performer and also push myself to do things that I wouldn't normally do. And what perfect, there's not a more perfect place to do that than here at the Piano Kitchen. So anyway, this is a super new song, and it's also not quite finished yet. So, you know, I know there's lots of creative people in the crowd that, you know, if you have any ideas on how I can finish this, I would love to hear about it. It's called Counting.
That was so beautiful. Let's all sing a song together.
Dream this night away.
but that was a contest, and everybody won. Yeah. But then we just, Michael and I thought there was one person that was, you were doing a great job. What's your name?
Wesley.
Wesley. So every show we give away a live from the piano kitchen duck in some other form. In past months, it's had a nail through its head. And this particular version of the duck, Wesley, right?
Yeah.
It's a live from the piano kitchen earthquake indicator. So if there's any little motion, if you put it and you wonder, was that an earthquake? Look at the duck. The duck will talk to you.
Wow.
I was giving up a laugh for you.
Hopefully that was enough cardio to ward off your Thanksgiving 10 that I for sure will have.
I'm going to pass out any minute.
Michael's got mere moments left.
But why is that so funny to you?
I don't know. Sure, the beginning, the whole first half hour of the last show was Paige just like ranting and fixating on you being in some kind of horrible accident because Michael missed the first half hour of our last show.
Doesn't apply. We don't have to revisit this. We talked about it.
Are we processing this now?
Are we having this discussion?
Oh, let's
move on.
Let's unpack this. And where did you go?
Can we be friends? I have so much to say to you. Misconnections.
We've done this bit a couple times now, but these are all genuine, real Craigslist misconnections in Santa Barbara on the internet.
We're hoping maybe somebody here will recognize themselves.
October 28th, Smart and Final, Saturday afternoon, M4W. You were at the checkout. Blonde, white shirt, blue jeans, phone in your left back pocket. We made long eye contact as I turned the aisle. Your smile melted me, and you mouthed the word, "Hi." I didn't know what to do. I smiled and said, "Hi, also." Who are you?
Where'd you go? Can we be friends? I have so much to say to you.
October 21. At the Red Piano, W4M. Saw the most handsome man last night at the Red Piano. You were tall, with light brown, shoulder-length hair and a beard. You and your friends stood by my friend and I. I wanted to strike up a convo before you left, but I didn't want to leave my friend.
This connection.
October 23rd, Danny R. at the Apple Store. M4M. This was just around noon when you helped me out this past Friday. I had some issues with my iPhone, and you were the one who helped me with it. We talked a bit, and I wanted to give you my number, but there were so many people next to us. I felt we had a good vibe. Hit me up if you're interested in getting to know each other and grabbing a coffee. We have the same name, and we made a bit of a joke while you worked on my phone. You moved to Santa Barbara a few months ago. Tell me where you moved from or what phone I had. To get to know you. Danny R.
Where did you go? Can we be friends? I have so much to say to you.
October 13, SFO flight to SBA. W4M. to the cute guy who asked for my phone number and I refused. There are so many things that I would like to say that all boil down to thank you. You were nice, talkative, and funny. And in a different world, I would have given you my number in a second. You made me feel young and desirable and, dare I say, giddy. I haven't smiled that much in a long time. I know you won't ever see this, but I think you understand that for a multitude of reasons, I couldn't give you my number. I have been smiling all week, knowing that you were so interested. Thank you. My only regret is that I didn't get your name so I could Facebook stalk you and daydream what ifs. I'm only semi-joking. See you in another lifetime.
Misconnection. Misconnection.
October 31st. Pirate at Rocky Horror Picture Show on Halloween night. M for W. A beautiful woman in costume came up and asked me for a picture together. Your friend took one and you walked away. I can't get you out of my mind, and I need to know if you are single. I was the scary pirate. Arg. I need to meet you without my makeup on. I feel like I let my soulmate walk away. The woman I'm with in this picture is my cousin.
Go, can we be friends? I have so much to say to you.
Misconnections. Misconnections. Misconnections.
And now for part two of Bully Mammoth here at the Piano Kitchen Radio Theater. Previously in tonight's program, two intrepid students, Lucy and Max, wanted to start an anti-bullying campaign at the college.
Students should be free to be who they are.
Yes, yes they should. See how sensitive I am? Doesn't that make you want to make out with me?
But the chancellor of the school took their anti-bullying program and went a little too far.
Everyone must dress the same, act the same, and talk the same. If there is no difference between people, then no one can be offended.
And no one really knew what was up with Dean Steve.
Yeah, I was only in a couple of scenes. I'm not a very fully realized character.
Also, everyone must be named Carl or Carl A, so no one can be bullied for having a creepy name like Steve.
Hey, that's my name.
Shut it, Dean Steve!
I love you.
Let's listen in on Max and Lucy, or as they are now known, Carl and Carl A, who have taken to meeting in secret in the back of the school library.
I think that book you are looking for is over here, Carl.
Thanks, Carl A.
This part of the library is old. There's no electricity back here. No one can hear us.
Say it to me.
Max. Your name is Max. Say it to me.
Your name is Lucy. And I'm not saying that just because I still totally want to make out with you.
We have to find a way to get back into the bowels of the school where the deans meet.
How? We were blindfolded when we went last time.
If only we could make contact with someone who knows the way.
Hey, what are you guys up to?
Dean Steve, what are you doing here?
I sleep here. There's no electricity, so no one can hear me bully myself.
You bully yourself?
I can't help it. I like to be bullied. Why do you think I made that stupid joke about ordering the ham sandwich?
I just thought you were really unfunny.
Yes!
No, I just meant that as a factual statement. I didn't mean to bully you.
Darn it.
Look, Dean Steve, we need to stop this. Can you help us get into the bowels? of the university so we can try to stop the Chancellor?
I don't know. That sounds pretty dangerous.
So you can't help us because you're a little chicken boy? Chicken! Chicken!
Oh, God, yes! Yes, I'll help you!
Great! Let's go!
Okay, the first thing we're going to need to do is get past the gatekeeper. I'm going to have to blindfold you and knock you out and carry you in this wheelbarrow.
What if we just pretend to be knocked out?
I don't know.
Really? You don't know because you're some kind of stupid, scared little boy who loves Gallagher?
I'll do it! Thank you. Oh, thank you. It's true. I do love Gallagher. I'm so ashamed.
Let's go!
Halt! It is I, the keeper of the gates to the underworld.
Hey, Roger.
None may pass who know not the secrets of the words.
Yeah, the secret is sandwich, Roger. That's the password.
You must tell the word of pass if you desire safe passage through the...
Sandwich! I just said it, okay? Sandwich!
And what is thy burden?
I got two students in a wheelbarrow, Roger. You can see it.
Jeez, way to kill the mood. Sorry if I'm trying to inject a little drama into your daily life.
Just open the gate and let me in, please, Roger.
Fine.
Okay, we're in. You can get up now.
What's with that guy?
Oh, he graduated from the drama program, so he's basically unemployable. That's the only job he could get. He tries to be all Yoda.
So now what?
Well, now we head down deep into the bowels.
Isn't it just a basement?
Sure, but bowels sounds way cooler.
These hallways are long. What's in all these rooms?
Oh, you know, things, stuff, knickknacks.
Any paddywhacks?
No, we had to get rid of them. They were offensive to the Irish.
Wait, what's in here?
Maybe you shouldn't open that.
I'm just like everyone else. There is nothing special about me. If there is nothing special about me, then there is nothing for anyone to make fun of. We are all equal.
This must be where they take people they arrest for bullying.
They're being brainwashed.
Well, yes, but only to stop them from bullying.
There is nothing special about me. The special one is the Chancellor. She's wonderful. We love her. We love our Chancellor.
And to love the Chancellor, there is that.
Look at this. It's a course book for the next quarter.
History of the Chancellor. The greatest Chancellor in school history. Chancellor Dance.
That one's actually pretty good. The Chancellor Dance is a great workout.
The university is at war with the college across town. We have always been at war with the college across town.
At war?
This has to stop! Listen, people! Listen to me! We are not at war with any other schools! You are not all the same! Each of you is an individual! Each of you is different!
Hello, Carl A. It is nice to see you again.
My name is not Carl A. My name is Lucy. Your names are not Carl and Carl A.
Our names are not Carl and Carl A.
You don't have to talk in unison! You are individuals!
We don't have to talk in unison. We are individuals.
Stop it!
You stop it.
You can't help them. They're too far gone.
We have to find the Chancellor.
No, you don't. She's right here.
Dean Steve, look out! The Chancellor's right behind you!
Oh, I know that.
But she'll...
She'll what, Carl? She'll get me? She'll trap me? Oh, Carl, she trapped me a long time ago.
Thank you, Dean Steve, for your help in this matter. Take that one away!
Take that one away.
No! Let me go!
Max!
No!
So it was all a lie, Dean Steve.
Well, not all of it. I do really like to be bullied, so thanks for that.
This was just a trap!
Of course it was. Dean Steve is my thought police. I can't have free thinkers here. Free thinking leads to creativity, and creativity leads to interesting ideas, and interesting ideas leads to more creativity. It's a vicious cycle. You taught me that, Lucy.
No, I wanted to stop bullying, and you've become the biggest bully of them all.
But that's why it's perfect. If there's one really big bully, no one else can be bullied.
No!
Yes, just ask.
Carl, what do you mean?
She means me, Carl.
Max!
It's not Max, it's Carl. I'm Carl.
He is Carl. We are all Carl.
I betrayed you. They took me to a room and showed me my worst fear.
They forced you to watch a college a cappella group competition?
I told them to make you watch it.
How could you? How could you break so fast?
Every group had Bohemian Rhapsody in their set list.
Ouch! I guess I can't fault you for that.
Come on now, Lucy. It's so much easier if you join us. All you have to do is love me.
We love our chancellor.
No, I can't let you. I won't let you.
We love our chancellor.
No!
And then the throng of Carls surrounded Lucy. There was no escape for her. She was being drowned in a sea of Carl and Carl A's. And just before Lucy was about to suffocate under the weight of all this conformity, she remembered one thing. She remembered why she wanted to start the anti-bullying campaign. She remembered why this meant so much to her. And in that moment, she tore off her clothes.
That's right, everyone. I like to wear old lady baggy underwear.
Old lady baggy underwear.
Lucy, I never knew.
I was always afraid to show you.
Oh, those are crazy. Do you think they fit me?
I don't know, Dean Steve, but I have a drawer full at home. I'd be happy to give you some.
No, you can't. It's just old lady underwear. It's weird.
It's hypnotic.
It's weird and it's hot at the same time.
You can get them at Sears for super cheap.
Sears. We can get them at Sears.
I have a car.
Can you give me a lift?
I want a car.
I think the Jacqueline Smith collection is on sale.
No, you can't shop at Sears for weird old lady underwear. You have to love me.
You know what I say? I say bring on that a cappella competition. I'd rather watch hours of that than have to listen to this anymore. Let's get out of here.
No, leave here! Don't you understand? I'm the Chancellor! You love me! I will have order!
I'll have a ham and cheese sandwich.
What?
It's just a joke.
It's a terrible joke, Dean Steve. I thought we agreed you would stop saying it!
I know, but maybe this time, instead of berating me, you could go out and get one with me?
Are you asking me on a date, Dean Steve? I already dominate you!
Yeah, maybe you can't make everyone at the university love you. But I do.
Oh, Dean Steve!
Oh, Chancellor.
And so the Chancellor and Dean Steve headed out for a tasty ham and cheese sandwich.
You know, the old lady underwear is totally slamming.
Thanks, Max.
Could I borrow them sometime?
And Lucy forgave Max for betraying her rather than have to listen to a college a cappella group. And they totally made out.
Hey, what about us?
And the rest of the students? Well, once the university went back to normal, the students went back to dressing how they wanted, eating what they wanted, and studying what they wanted in a bully-free environment.
Except for me.
What do you mean, Dean Steve?
Well, I like to be bullied.
Well, is it really bullying if you want someone to do it to you?
I guess not.
So you're not being bullied at all?
No. But if I wanted to be bullied and you didn't do it to me, in a way, you really would be bullying me.
I guess.
Oh, yes! Don't bully me some more!
And that's our show! Thank you very much for coming!
Let's hear it for all! Let's get your manual players!
Elena
Matt Chaminini, let's hear it for our guest, Shio Tucker, our Tyler Gumbler, Chris Dow, Paige, Jim, Dave, Michael, thank you much for coming.